you all for coming. And the question is, and people are wondering, when is this rapture coming? How much more have we got to go through? A lot, possibly, but how close are we to our departure from this sin-sick world? Well, time is short. The birth pangs leading up to our Lord's return are evident everywhere. I saw today that wildfires in California have destroyed 2.6 million acres. There are disasters around the world, many disasters. But when these things happen, we are to look up because we know our redemption draws close. And that makes this the most exciting time in history since our Lord's first advent. This is the year that the dam burst. You know, I've been talking about this for well over 20 years. Before that, we listened to Barry Smith and learned a great deal from him. And it was always a bit academic until this year it all started to roll. The birth pangs started. And of course, with birth pangs, they start out fairly mild and increase in intensity, and they get closer and closer together. So I think things are going to get worse fast. That's the good news. So we've got riots around the world, a world economy heading for the Greater Depression, which I've been expecting for some years, a panic reaction to a new virus, and some people call what's happening a plandemic, and all of the comments about that kind of thing have been taken off the web, so we can't, it's very difficult to find the truth now. Vast locust swarms are across Africa and parts of Asia, and 2 billion people have their food supply at risk. So we could get famine very rapidly because the crops have failed in a number of countries. And there's fires and floods, all kinds of things are happening that are not widely reported. There's an axis of evil military powers flexing their muscles around the globe, around Israel, in between Turkey and Greece, and in all kinds of areas, even the Barents Sea. There are major wars looming and a planned reset. That's a very interesting term. They're going to reset the world economy in January because the debts are unpayable. They've got to do something. They'll probably crash the cash. Things are going to start really moving fast, and we can expect it because we know we're forewarned and forearmed because the Word of God tells us exactly what's going to happen and the sequence of events. And of course, in November, we're going to have an election which will be the most traumatic and problematic in America's recent history, and it could set America ablaze, whatever happens. And you could add your own things that are coming along to this list. So that is good news? Well, yes, it is. The world is getting gloriously darker. It describes the world just before the rapture of the church and the future seven-year tribulation period, the worst time in the history of the world. The Jews call it the time of Jacob's trouble. Yes, the world will soon be in the worst time in history, but we should also be encouraged and excited. If you read Titus 2, verse 13, it calls the soon coming rapture our escape, if you like. Yes, I'm an escapist. It's our blessed hope. We escape the wrath to come, and so can anyone who gives their lives to our Lord. But time is short. Prophecies are converging. This is one of the key signs. It's the season. We're living in the season of the Lord's return. It's been talked about for many, many years, decades, centuries, but this is the time we're living in. What a privilege to be here at this time. It would be one thing if just one prophecy was coming to pass in our day, like the most important of all in 1948, Israel being reborn in one day, exactly as Isaiah predicted. But the significant thing is that we've got multiple prophecies converging and pointing to a date in the fairly near future. Now, we don't date set, that's folly, but we do know the season. I don't think personally, this is just my opinion, it counts for nothing really, but I don't think the rapture will come this year. But next year is another story. It depends how fast these things unroll, and they're going to unroll quite quickly, I think, once we start getting reset of the world economy. So we cannot know the date, but we can know the general time, the time when the fig tree Israel has leaves, but little fruit, few believers there really. And we are supposed to be ready, watchful and ready, watchmen on the wall. This is a watchman on the wall church, a lighthouse in a great sea of blackness and darkness. Israel is the main sign that we are close. And of course, we are living in the generation that saw Israel reborn. And here is what the word says in Matthew 24, verses 32 to 34. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and puts forth leaves, you know summer is nigh. So likewise you, when you shall see all these things, and we're seeing them, know that it is near, even at the doors. This generation shall not pass until all these things be fulfilled. We are forewarned, and I thank God that we are forewarned, because the greatest news story could break any day. Here's a great headline. Millions vanish worldwide. And I think too that I followed this for decades. I was told this by New Agers 50 years ago, that flying saucers and alien abductions will be used when a lot of people disappear from the earth. They didn't call it the rapture. These were New Agers. But they know, and in fact, Satanists and others who are into all kinds of deviancy in spiritual things, they know a lot more about prophecy than most Christians do. I was told a lot about prophecy by people who are completely non-Christian. So what is the chronology of the end time events? To travel or trade, well, we have to take the mark of the beast. We were kind of concerned about that. We don't want to take one of Bill Gates' vaccines because it might contain something we don't want, something quite sinister. No, we will not be able to have to take the mark of the beast, because that will be demanded after we've gone, after we've left. The true church, and that's all of you, I hope, the true church is in the departure lounge. To understand what's happening, the only way, and this is what the 99% of the churches of the world miss, the only way is to study prophecy. This is what first alerted me to the fact that the Bible is not just some kind of ancient history book, it's a live book, and it's relevant today. And the more we go on into history and the unfolding of it, the more we realize how significant prophecy is. And of course, at the end of Revelation, there's a special blessing for those who study that book, the only book that gets that. We are supposed to study and understand prophecy. A quarter of the Bible over that was prophetic when written. So God wants us to understand things. We are to understand the times. In the New Testament, our Lord chastised the Jewish leaders for not understanding the signs of the times. What would our Lord say today to most Christians if he were speaking to us? Well, that doesn't apply here. Thankfully, we do get the chance to get the truth out. And the good news, the very good news when times are dark, is that the brightness is coming, the brightness of our Lord. He's coming back. The signs are all around. Our Lord is even at the door. As we look at the world today, we know our Lord's coming is near, even at the door. We know from Galatians 4, chapter 4, verse 4, that God had a year, a day, an hour, and a minute for our Lord to be born. His hand is on the time clock of history. According to Matthew 24, verse 36, God has a year, a month, a day, and an hour for Jesus to come back, and that time is close. Since the Lord is coming at a time when we think not, and the world certainly hasn't got much thought about it, we have to be ready at all times, whether it's on the Feast of Trumpets or some other day. We get advance notice. I love advance notice. I like to plan ahead. There are about 300 prophecies of the first coming of our Lord in the Old Testament, but there are about 500 in the Old Testament about his second coming. In the New Testament, one out of every 25 verses has to do with the second coming of Jesus. So there are more prophecies about the second coming of Jesus than his first coming, his first advent. The second coming signs are here. Our Lord is coming soon because Israel's back in the land. The old Roman Empire is being reformed, renamed the European Union. All the world, and I'm generalizing, not quite all the world, but most of it, hates Israel. People in countries that have never had a Jew hardly or never met a Jew, somehow they're anti-Semitic. It's a satanic inspired thing. It's not rational or reasonable. The focus of the world is on Jerusalem, which is a relatively small city of no great import in worldly terms. It's not a vast area, quite a small city. But the focus of the world is on Israel, and the enemies of Israel are uniting. Nature is suffering birth pangs, volcanoes, floods, earthquakes, hurricanes, tornadoes, and they call it, this is always makes me, makes me sort of gets my attention. They say they're of biblical proportions. I watch the business news. I pick up a lot of information from business news because you get more sound and safe and reporting on business programs. They want the truth. They don't want airy-fairy stuff. And they were talking about Lloyd's of London. They're going to pay out £5,000 million this year because of all the disasters and problems that the world is having. And worldwide, the insurance industry is paying out $100 billion this year. That shows a lot of things are going wrong. And of course, false teachers and prophets are deceiving many in the churches. And a lot of these have got television ministries. I saw one person from America, one of these sort of phony preachers, the name it and claim it people. He was blowing. He's going to blow the virus away. Well, he failed, didn't he? Step down, get off your pulpit, you're useless. So the focus is on Israel, the fig tree. In May 1948, the prophetic clock moved to 1 minute to midnight. God will destroy those who attack Jerusalem. The Lord is going to protect his land and his people. There'll be terrible problems ahead. Two-thirds of them will be killed eventually, but one-third will survive when they call on the Lord to come and save them. But those who attack Jerusalem or go against Israel, and that includes our government at the moment, by the way, they're going to actually suffer, and the people that they rule will suffer unless it changes. Zechariah 14, verse 2, "For I will gather all the nations against Jerusalem to battle." This is the final campaign of Armageddon. "And the city will be captured, the houses plundered, the women ravished, and half of the city exiled. But the rest of the people will not be cut off from the city. Then the Lord will go forth to help them and save them and fight against those nations, as when he fights on a day of battle. In that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which is in front of Jerusalem on the east." So yes, our Lord is coming back, and soon. Of the Old Testament references to our Lord's first coming, in the last 72 hours of his life, 33 of these prophecies were literally fulfilled. This is supernatural proof of the truth of the Bible's claims. I like a track record. The Bible has a track record that's second to nothing else in the world because it's always right. There's not a single line or sentence in the Bible, the Word of God, that is wrong. If any of it was inaccurate, we could, you know, disregard it, like we can disregard the Quran and chuck it in the bin. But the Bible is the one true word in this world. So the birth pangs are all around for those with eyes to see. Leaders and nations out there and the Bill Gates of this world are plotting and scheming because they think they know better than God. The second psalm describes nations in uproar, people devising a vain thing, plotting and scheming in dark places, rulers conspiring against the Lord and his anointed. They're trying to shut churches in places like California, and a lot of the Christian content is being removed from social media. They don't want the truth out there because the truth frightens them. The truth sets people free, and they don't want that. They want to be maintaining their control over people. People have been scared half to death, quite needlessly. Governments around the world are using fear, the kind of people who scuttle along in the open space with masks all over their faces. How foolish they are. They've been scared half to death, like the man we heard about who's too scared to go out of his house. Ridiculous. And yet, now governments are using all this to put in draconian laws of control. You can't do this, you can't do that, you can't beat people. And of course, they want to tear their fetters away and cast their cords from us. They want to do it in their way and be as depraved as possible as a price to pay. There is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. That's Proverbs 14, verse 12. People today, well, the world is full of scoffers because they've never read the Bible, but they don't believe it, and they say it's not true because they've never looked at a page of it or made any effort to study it. People are scoffing at prophecy, just as the Word of God predicted. 2 Peter says, "In the last days, scoffers will come and saying, where is the promise of his coming?" So the Bible even prophesied the scoffing of the Bible. Right now, the mockers are here, one of many indicators that these are the last days. Revelation chapter 20 has six references to the Lord's 1,000-year reign on earth. And that's something to actually throw at people, say, nowhere in the Bible does it say the Lord's going to come back for 1,000 years. Well, only 6 times in one chapter. Events show that we are fast leading up to this astounding event, and we are to look for his return. The true believers will come back with him to rule and reign. That's us. Prophecies are fast forward. The world is in turmoil, and as I said, in panic mode. Russia is moving troops and equipment into the Middle East, close to Israel's border. Israel is isolated at the UN. Freedoms are evaporating. It's also isolated in the EU. The EU is virulently anti-Semitic and anti-Israel. It's a loathsome edifice. War drums are pounding. Matthew 24 tells of wars, rumors of wars, false Christs, false prophets, earthquakes and famines, a rise in lawlessness. Cities across America have been burning for months, not very much reported. They use any excuse to rise up and riot and break things up and burn cities down. I had stories from different cities in America saying our whole city center has been burned and destroyed, and the rioters are just allowed to get away with it, particularly in states like California, where the police are told, oh, just let them get on with it, you know, Black Lives Matter, etc. That's nothing to do with it. Any excuse would do. Most of the people who are protesting are not even, they're white people, actually. So it's nothing to do with race. It's to do with lawlessness, spirit of lawlessness. They want to go in and grab something and run off with it or burn something down. So many professing Christians are abandoning the faith. We're told that in the end times there'll be a great falling away. Yet the gospel is being preached to the whole world, via the media and others, other things, of course, missionaries. But the world wars were just the beginning of the birth pangs. There are end time wars. These are just some of them still to come. I think the next one probably will be that described in Psalm 83. The named nations and the immediate circle of nations around Israel, they were joined together and say, let us remove their name from being a nation anymore. And they want to make the Mediterranean run red with the blood of the Jews. At the moment, that's not likely because Egypt is quite friendly with Israel. But that will change, I believe. And the Muslim Brotherhood will take over again. This is just my conjecture, by the way, not scripture. But the nations around Israel, about 5 of them, will join together and will be roundly defeated. And I know that they won't be involved in the Russian invasion of Israel because they will have been neutralized before. And they would have been if they could have been. So that tells the story in itself. It's the dog that didn't bark. So the Russian army and armies of the other named nations are destroyed by God on the mountains of Israel. That's Ezekiel chapters 38 and 39. And they weren't even under Israel's control until 1967. The final major campaign, it won't be a battle, it'll be a wipeout. Or is Armageddon, all the nations gathering to wipe out the Jews, all combatants will be destroyed. And of course, the nations that actually contribute to that, like Russia, will be devastated and removed from being a major power. So that's when the Lord comes back to set up his 1,000-year kingdom reign, the millennial reign of Christ. The end time players in this scenario are in place. We've got preparations for the Ezekiel 38-39 invasion of Israel, with alliances between Russia, Iran and Libya, plus links between Russia and Turkey. And of course, Turkey is still a member of NATO, but Russia's getting in there with all kinds of things, armaments and all kinds of trade and so on. These are the leading nations that will be involved. Scripture shows the temple will be rebuilt in the end times. The money's available for it. The architectural plans are drawn, and many ancient prophecies are coming to pass now. The temple will be rebuilt in the first 3 years of the tribulation. God destroys the Muslim invaders prior to the tribulation. Then Antichrist signs a covenant protecting Israel. So it's much easier for Israel to rebuild its temple without Muslim resistance. Islam is not going to be a major end times religion at all. For a lot of reasons. It's all going to be wrapped around the Catholic Church and so on. This is the popes of the last 2 or 3 popes have been reaching out to other religions. There's a lot of religions joining together, coming under the banner of Mariam or Mary, who is also revered in Islam. So those Muslims that are left will probably join with the Great Horde Church. That's another presentation, another story. But the Muslims are taken out at the Ezekiel invasion and earlier in Psalm 83. Islam is not a major force in the end times. It's not in prophecy. The Temple Institute in Jerusalem is working to establish the third temple, which they picture above. They can't build it at the moment. It will probably start a major war, but they will be able to under the protection, the false protection, the cunning deception of Antichrist. I will protect you, sure, for 3.5 years before he stands in the temple and claims worship as God. This is a cosmic battle. And again, people look at the world and see it in very earthly terms, but in fact, it's a supernatural situation. It's a cosmic battle. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. We're hearing of wars and rumors of wars. We're told in Matthew 24 again, except those days, the last days we're moving into in the beginning of sorrows, except those days should be shortened, no flesh will be saved. All flesh on earth, everything, man, woman, beast, fish, everything will be wiped out if the Lord doesn't step in. There are even scriptures indicating nuclear war. Isaiah 17 verse 1, for example. Here's a prophecy about end time society, which will sound very familiar. The signs of society. Jesus said, our society towards the very end will become increasingly lawless and immoral as the time approaches for his return. In fact, he said, and this is quite a striking statement because it was very evil in the days of Noah, but he said again, it will become as evil as it was in the days of Noah. And again in Matthew 24, and it clearly is. America, which was a really godly and well-run and orderly nation, when I first went over there in 1974, it was really quite astonishing how righteous most of the people were, how well-supported the churches were, and how there was law and order everywhere. And it's been turned on its head by Marxism and the universities being taken over by very much left-wing professors who brainwash the students. These are the people now out on the streets. So society's been turned upside down. Christianity is being, they're trying to marginalize it. A lot of people are resisting this, but that's what they're trying to do. And as a result, you take away the moral code, society becomes as evil as it was in the days of Noah. Anything goes. Do as you will be the whole of the law. That's the motto of the Satanists, by the way. Anything goes. It must be right. If you like it, do it. Not true. The end of the world isn't nigh. It's got at least 1,007 years to come and a little bit more. But the end of the church age is nearly upon us. Bible prophecy, and this is what people out there don't know and should know, if we can tell them, it has a 100% accuracy record. There's no other book in the world, certainly not the Quran, which has all kinds of easily verifiable nonsense and contradictions all through it. The Bible never contradicts itself. Our Lord will return physically to earth. His feet will touch the Mount of Olives, and he will judge the nations. That's Matthew 25, verses 31 to 46. And he will set up his millennial kingdom on the earth. All the Old Testament prophecies that point to the first coming were fulfilled. The second coming prophecies are also literally true. The Bible is literally true when it refers to our Lord coming back. The Bible claims its prophetic content is accurate and inspired by God, and we're to study it. Prophecy is as a light that shines in a dark place. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. The only light in this darkness, the light at the end of the tunnel, is our Lord. There is a storm coming on this world, but we can have peace in the storm. We shouldn't worry, we shouldn't fear. And I'm very guilty of this. I worry all the time about all kinds of silly things. My internet wasn't working. I was worried and waking up at night. Have we been hacked? No, we hadn't been hacked. And Alex came and sorted things out for us. So thank you, Alex. But I was worrying about it and not getting any sleep. And it's ridiculous. We have to trust in the Lord and cast our cares on him and not to worry. It adds nothing to the day. So that's the lesson I still have to keep relearning. I apologize. I'm sorry, Lord. I repent of worry and fear. Many people out there claim to have the anointing today. If you see someone standing in a pulpit yelling on a TV program, the Godless Channel and that kind of thing, they're not anointed. Not by God, that's for sure. But there's just one anointed one and it's not them. We, the true church, do not suffer the wrath of God about to hit the earth. That is very good news. 1 Thessalonians 1:10, we're told the church is delivered from the wrath to come. The word delivered literally means snatched. We're snatched away. We're to be snatched away from the wrath which comes during the tribulation period. The 7-year great tribulation. There are many names given to this period in both Old and New Testaments. They all refer to a 7-year period of the outpouring of God's wrath. It starts with the signing of a 7-year peace treaty between Israel and Antichrist. They seek his protection. He gives it gladly. Ho, ho. He's fooling them. The seal judgments in Revelation 6 start with the Lamb opening the first of 7 seals. So all of these judgments, right from the beginning, they're judgments from God. Will the church go through the tribulation? Well, the people behind that church may or may not. It depends if they're truly saved or are we taken out. The rapture is selective. Christ will not come for all people who go around saying, well, I'm a Christian. I was baptized as a baby. That means absolutely nothing. Christening is a horrible thing. It's not biblical at all. Nowhere are we instructed to baptize or christen babies. They can't take a decision. I had a godfather and a fat lot of good he did for me. He was not a godly person. When he died as an atheist, my godfather, he chose as a song, "What Shall We Do with a Drunken Sailor?" That's how he went out. Well, he found out his... One minute after he died, he found out how wrong he was. It's too late. There's no turning back. So the Lord comes for the bride, the true church, the remnant church. That's those who know him and love him. They that are Christ at his coming, in 1 Corinthians 15:23. And them also which sleep in Jesus, those who've died in Christ, they will rise first. 1 Thessalonians 4:14 to 16. Is the rapture real? Well, his clothes were left behind. It proves it, doesn't it? Oh, it hasn't happened yet. Oh, it will. The Jewish Feast of Trumpets symbolizes the return of the Lord for his church, the rapture of the church. And there's even a crown for all those who love the Lord's appearing. Those who are not worldly but spiritual, 2 Timothy 4:8. The rapture could be today. It could be this morning. Nothing in Scripture needs to be fulfilled before this astounding event takes place. Belief in a pre-trib rapture gives us urgency and a desire to be ready with our lamps burning. Luke 40. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. If it happened in the middle or after the tribulation, we know the date. So it's ridiculous. That idea that it's anything other than before the tribulation is utterly ridiculous and not scriptural at all. A pastor, I think I told you this before, but it always struck me. And actually, he was a very strong believer and a Baptist pastor in Tennessee. He said his friend had started to doubt the pre-tribulation rapture and he was worried his head would be chopped off during the Great Tribulation. And the pastor told me, I decided to reassure him, his head won't be on any block as the church, the true church, won't be here. So he's safe. So what is the rapture? Well, it's our wondrous event that will take place when our Lord comes in the air, catches up the church from earth and returns to heaven with us. The Apostle Paul gave a clear description of the event in his letters to the Thessalonians and Corinthians. What happens? At the rapture, we see our Lord at last. We're judged at the Bema seat of Christ, where we are rewarded for deeds done for the Lord. Things done for wrong motives will be burned up. Oh, I gave a lot of money to charity. You pat me on the back. No, you'll get no thanks for that. You did it for the acclaim of the world. We used to get this all the time in the newspapers. People would say, oh, we're presenting a big check. Will you like to come and take our photograph? I say, no. Next question. And the check was large, not necessarily in numbers, but in size. It was about 2 feet long, you know. They just wanted the world to say, oh, aren't they good people? There aren't any good people. And that includes me, that's for sure. Things done for wrong motives will be burned up. There's a promise to the church. Concept of the rapture wasn't revealed to Old Testament prophets because it's a promise to the New Testament church and not to the saints of God who lived before the establishment of the church. Our Lord will return as a bridegroom for his bride, and the bride consists of church-age saints. The creator of the heavens and earth is coming back for us. He's coming back in wrath and glory as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. His first advent, which is the Lamb of God, he's coming back as a lion in wrath and glory. Woe betide those who try and stand in his way. Finally, the Bible has several characters whose departures are types of the rapture. Enoch was raptured before the flood, Genesis 5, verse 24. Elijah was taken up without dying, 2 Kings 2, verse 11. That's an illustration of Elijah being taken up whilst Elisha watched. Lot was saved from the destruction of Sodom, Genesis 18 and 19. He was saved. During the tribulation, a great body of believers, those who are saved during this awful time, they are the tribulation saints. If we leave behind books, if we leave behind DVDs, if there are some links still left up where this kind of thing can be got out to people, a lot of people will suddenly realize, even those who have come to a church, heard it and gone away and thought, oh, maybe, maybe not, they'll suddenly realize, many people, it'll be the great harvest of souls of all time, because they'll know they've made a mistake and they now know that they mustn't take the mark of the beast. The apostate corrupt church of the time will be nothing to do with them, because that will be the whore church combining all religions, and they will back Antichrist. They'll back almost anybody, they don't care, as long as he's a strong leader. But the great body of believers are those who actually now put their lives on the line to worship Jesus, and most of them will be killed. They'll be had their heads chopped off and so on. The tribulation is referred to as a time of Jacob's troubles. The church age has ended, and the focus is on Israel. After chapter 3 of the book of Revelation, the church is not referred to anymore until the very end. The focus is on Israel. It's all about Israel. That's why, although it's a very tiny nation, and you know, not really sort of in many ways as important as a huge nation like America or Russia or China, it's in fact the apple of God's eye. To him, it's the most important nation. And the focus is on it now. That's why the United Nations has discussed and condemned Israel many times more than all the other nations put together. Because it's not a normal, natural thing. It's purely spiritual. It's a tussle between evil and good. Come up hither. That's what we'll hear in Revelation 4, verse 1. It's a prophetic reference to the rapture of the church, leaving Revelation chapters 1 through 3 as a description of the church age. After the shout, and check this up later, after the shout, come up hither, the church is not mentioned until chapter 19. The text switches from the church to the Jews living in Israel. Our Lord promised to take his bride, the church, to his Father's house and warned us to be ready. Our Lord said, I go to prepare a place for you. John 14, verses 1 to 3. This contains a hint of the rapture as Christ promises to return for the believers. This includes those who died in Christ, the dead in Christ. What about these pre-church saints? Well, they will be resurrected at the end of the tribulation and not at the time of the rapture. Daniel reveals this in Daniel 12, verse 1 to 2, where he says, the saints of that age will be resurrected at the end of the time of distress. They will join us at the marriage supper. Here are two key scriptures, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 to 53, 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 to 17. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 to 53. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. We are immortal. Souls don't die, even though those in hell, which will be cast into the lake of fire. There's an event happening at the last trump. Mid and post-trib advocates say this is the seventh trumpet of Revelation. Not so. When 1 Corinthians was written, Revelation had not been written. The last trump refers to the Feast of Trumpets, which concludes with a long trumpet blast. Corinthians would have been familiar with this and had celebrated it. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 to 17. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And we are to comfort ourselves with these words, as I said earlier. The biggest difference between the rapture and the second coming, at the rapture, it happens suddenly in the twinkling of an eye, at a time when the world is fairly normal, people buying and selling and getting married, etc. The second coming happens when the world is in chaos, with most people dead, survivors hiding in rocks, praying for rocks to fall on them and hide them from the wrath of the Lamb, Revelation 6, verse 16. There won't be many left. So the rapture of the church can happen at any time. The second coming can't occur until certain events have taken place on earth, Matthew 24, verses 29 to 30. The events are mainly this seven-year covenant between Israel and the Antichrist, the abomination of desolation when Antichrist steps in to the temple, the Jews realize they've been had and the wise ones flee, basically the rest of the tribulation period. Those left behind face a terrible fate in the coming tribulation, which is very, very soon arriving. And our job is to warn them. And if you can, get copies of this and send it to your friends. The DVDs are recorded every week. Send it out. Let's get them all out. Let's get people warned. And because they don't know most of this. The main church, the great established church of the day, it doesn't teach this by and large. I have actually spoken once in a Church of England church where I was, where they actually did believe it and backed Israel. But it's not common, it's rare. So we need, as a small lighthouse church, to get the lights out to people in darkness. And with that, I will close. And I thank you for coming and listening. In Jesus' name, amen.